Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson tells us that when Jesus was leaving Jericho, he was in the midst of a large crowd. I wonder if large crowd in Judea in the first century was the same thing as a large crowd today. Today, when we think of a large crowd, we think about baseball stadiums or rock concerts. Assuming that there were no empty seats at Fenway Park last Wednesday at the second game of the World Series, which I doubt there were any empty seats, that would have meant that there were 37,755 people in the stands. 37,755 is the capacity of seating at Fenway. That's a lot of people. The largest crowd that I've ever been a part of was the historic Simon and Garfunkel concert in Central Park in 1981, where there were estimated to be 500,000 people. I was a freshman in high school at the time, and I was there. Now that's a large crowd. The town of Jaffrey is 5,259 people. So when I looked out over that crowd that afternoon, I was looking out at almost 100 Jaffreys gathered in one place. You could yell all you wanted in a crowd like that, and you wouldn't be heard by anyone except a handful of people standing near you. The only way to be heard would be to talk through a microphone through a loud sound system. That's what a large crowd looks like today. The next thing we learn in the story that Brenda just read for us is that Jesus and this large crowd left Jericho, and there was a man sitting on the side of the road. But this one man sitting by the side of the road is not just some man. We are told actually quite a bit about this man. We know where he is sitting. He's sitting by the side of the road near the gates of Jericho. We know that he is both disabled and poor. He is a blind beggar. But he's not just a blind beggar, not any blind beggar. We even know his name. His name is Bartimaeus. And he's not just any Bartimaeus. He's the Bartimaeus that is the son of Timaeus. Isn't that great? I love that. I love the way the text zooms in two sentences from Jericho, a city, to a large crowd, to a single person. And I love the way that single person is a blind beggar sitting on the side of the road. We are told his name. And just in case we might be confusing this Bartimaeus with another Bartimaeus, we are told his father's name as well. This blind beggar is given so much dignity by the text. This is a little odd because if you look through the New Testament for the passages in which Jesus heals someone, you can see that sometimes we are given the person's name, but more often the person is identified in a generic way by their ailment or by their ethnicity or by their relationship to someone else. I'm thinking of people like the centurion's servant or the Syrophoenician woman's daughter, the 10 lepers, Peter's mother-in-law, or the man with the withered hand. These people have no names. Most blind beggars you hear about in the Bible are just blind beggars. Why is this blind beggar treated like such royalty? Maybe if we keep listening to the story, we'll find out. The next thing that happens is that this Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, finds out the reason why there's this huge crowd suddenly surrounding him, and it's because Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Interestingly, in this story, Jesus is not referred to with any of his highfalutin names. He's not the Son of Man or Jesus the Christ or even Rabbi. He's Jesus of Nazareth. That's like saying Mark of Montague or Bob of Swansea or Cynthia of Jaffrey. When I think of Jesus of Nazareth, when you think about it, Jesus of Nazareth is less specific than Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Jesus of Nazareth is the kind of name you could call someone if they were from somewhere else, because you don't know, you don't happen to know the person's father's name. Hearing that Jesus of Nazareth is coming by, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, makes noise. He makes a big commotion. The text says that he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd of people with Jesus did not like this. Perhaps they felt that Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was unworthy of Jesus' attention. After all, he was a blind beggar. Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, the text says, but then he cried out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." This tells us something about Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. To put it politely, he's a rather insistent fellow. Less charitable folks might call him a nuisance or a pain. One thing's for sure, he's a squeaky wheel. Do you suppose this is why everyone, including the person writing the story down, knows his name? "Oh, you mean the old blind beggar who hangs out by the gate? Sure. He's well known around these parts." "Oh, him, yes, I know him. He's got a mouth on him, all right, that ornery old coot. That's old Bartimaeus, isn't it?" "Yes, that's right, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Yes, yes, that's the one." Things are pretty different today. Even in a small town with a population of 5,259, where everyone knows everyone, there may be more than one Cynthia. So saying Cynthia of Jaffrey isn't enough. And if we think about the media and the internet and the way we can travel long distances in a very short time, the world seems connected and interconnected in a dumbfounding number of ways. In such a world, Sarah of Peterborough or Jess of Brattleboro just doesn't cut it. Now we need social security numbers, driver's licenses, and mother's maiden names to identify us. 37,755 people can get together from all over New England and the country to watch a game, and millions of others can watch it on TV live. In such a world, the idea of knowing the name of a blind beggar seems more challenging. And the idea of one blind beggar getting our attention in the middle of a large crowd of 500,000 people? Improbable. Blind beggars become blind beggars again and are no longer Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. But let us not underestimate God. It is our greatest hope and faith that no matter how we are, who we are, no matter how big the crowd, God hears us squeaking. God listens. And even in such a world, we too can listen. Listening is God's half Listening is God's half of communicating, and we can take part in it too. There is talking and there is listening. Listening is God-like. It is a great gift that we can give each other, this gift of listening. When we listen, we act in faith. We heal. We give the other person her dignity back. We give him a name. Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." The people's attitude to Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, immediately changes. Now that he is being listened to, the people don't say, "Be quiet." Now they say, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." Even in our crazy 500,000 person crowd world, we can still listen. When we listen, we say, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And even in our social security numbers, driver's licenses, mother's maiden names world, God listens. God says, "Take heart, get up, I am calling you." If you are blind, take heart. If you are isolated, get up. If you feel like your life has no meaning, take heart. Get up, for God is calling you. Amen.